Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Midwest Hemp Council Weekly Podcast, brought to you by the Bose Public Affairs Group at Bose, McKinney & Evans. I'm your host, Jason Dozier. Thanks again for joining us this week. On today's podcast, we'll hear from Michael Bowman, co-founder of First Crop Incorporated. Michael is also the keynote speaker at this weekend's Hemp at the Crossroads trade show and expo. We'll also hear from Midwest Hemp Council Executive Director Jamie Campbell-Petty, who'll talk about the trade show and give us some updates on the event. But first, we turn our attention to Michael Bowman, again, the keynote speaker for this weekend's Hemp at the Crossroads. Michael, how are things going this week?
Well, Jason, we had a great week. Once again for hemp, I had a chance to spend a couple of days in Dallas with the American Bankers Association's Ag Conference. So they had about 750 bankers there. So we had a chance to give them a thorough education on hemp and why they shouldn't be scared and what lies ahead, after December 31st. And that was a great trip. And then today in Las Vegas on the tail end of the Milk National Milk Conference, we had our third Farm Journal Hemp College. Had a great crowd, 21 states represented here today for it. So we just wrapped up here after an all day event, just had a great speakers, great interaction from the audience again today. We're on to something.
Fantastic. How are the slots treating you today?
Well, I haven't made it there yet because I had to travel from Dallas to Las Vegas late last night and then up this morning early. So the slots have evaded me.
Oh, there we go. Well, you still got a couple hours before your flight, I understand. So I'm sure there's got to be one nearby. So now the last
time. One-armed bandits are even at the airport.
Now the last time we talked to you, just to get this cleared up, you mentioned that your flight was scheduled to land in Fort Wayne instead of Indianapolis this weekend. Did you get your destination changed and all that worked out?
I do. I have that fixed. Although, last night I need somebody to take care of me. Obviously, I ended up at DFW last night instead of Love Field for my Las Vegas flight. So, it's the hazards of being a road warrior every now and then.
I tell you, well, we'll get
sneak up on you.
Right. Well, hopefully we get you in Indianapolis tomorrow and everything works out on time for
yes.
you and get
yeah.
you to the Hemp at the Crossroads Expo this weekend. Now you're the keynote speaker. So, tell us some of the things that we can expect to hear from you as the keynote speaker this weekend.
Well, I'm going to give a little history obviously most of these attendees know the history back to the Chinese. So I'm going to focus a lot on the history of the legislation and what happened on the Hill in the summer of 13 and some of the backroom things that were happening and at the time of the December conference. There's a great story that's never been told on purpose. A lot of this stuff was just things we needed to do at the time. But, there's just that period from June 19th when we passed the legislation, which became 7606, to the signing of the 2014 bill has some fascinating history to it. And I just want to share it with it. It's time to share it with everybody. It's time to celebrate.
Yeah, we're certainly looking forward to it. Now, Michael, the USDA just released its interim final rule creating the domestic hemp production program. What concerns do you have, if any, about this?
Well, I do, Jason. It's a concern, I think, only because, I think we all want the perfect, the perfect regulatory structure, right? Where agriculture crop, we fought hard to get here. And this IFR isn't quite perfect. We've got some work to do, but I kind of remind everybody to put this in the context of where we've come from. Remember, in the summer of 2014, we were starting at zero, and here we are entering 2020. We had just finished a year with over 500,000 acres permitted. I think the harvest is going to be much less. We've had a lot of successes, and we've had our share of failures in there, but we're into the kind of the next chapter and we're not going to get everything right this time. This is a process where we're getting everybody comfortable and getting regulators comfortable. And, so it's just, we're just still messy. I know that we've got, I have four things in particular that I'm concerned about and, I think shared by a wider audience that will we'll want to address in the comment period to try to make it better. And then over the next 2 years, we need to just go about our business and keep doing what we do well and keep fighting for, you know, the laws that are more farmer friendly and really let this industry be all it can be.
And I'm sure you'll go into detail on those over the weekend, but what are those 4 points that that you just mentioned?
Well, I'd start with the, you know, how they're going to define key participants. You know, they're talking about having to list every, you know, when you go in for a license, you know, who are the key participants, whether they be direct or indirect. There's really no statutory language on how that is. If, you know, who are your partners? Is your, if you're a partner and your wife's not a partner, she's still indirect. You know, because every one of these people are going to have to go through a criminal background check. So there's some, you know, it seems to be a little bit overzealous in that case. But so I think there'll be some, I think there'll be some responses on kind of tightening up that language on key participants, because it's really, you know, who knows how where a state might stop with that. On the DEA side, you know, we're going to be required to send these biomass samples to a DEA approved labs. One of the hiccups in that, if a lab wants to become DEA certified, they need to be in a state where marijuana is legal. So we may have a situation where we only have, you know, 8 states where there's operating labs where everybody's biomass is going to have to go to a marijuana legal state, and they won't be able to do it on their own. So I think that's going to need to be cleaned up. I think that, you know, the states are plenty capable of dealing with this issue and through their state departments of agriculture and university systems. So again, I think this was, seems to be a, you know, a slight overreach, but something we need to address. The next one I'd say is that, you know, the 15-day rule on, you know, prior to harvest. You know, most states have been at the 30-day, and that's worked well. And I can't imagine if you couple that 15-day rule with the fact that we may have a limited number of labs for increasing acreage, we're just asking for a disaster. So we've got to solve that kind of problem in its whole, really. And with that,
it's almost like when they came up with that point, they didn't consider there are only eight states that can have labs.
I think that was missed in that process of putting those together. So, and the fourth is really, I'm not sure it's something that we need to, you know, the USDA and the government have the right to, you know, come in and do their audits and walk your fields, and you have to give them access. And that seems, you know, if you're operating under a federal permit, I get that. If you're operating under a state permit, these states already have the system in place for oversight. And I don't know why in the world that we think we need to deploy USDA staff, you know, around the countryside to go in and do audits.
Makes you almost feel like you're breaking the law, or that you're just doing something a bit seedy.
It just doesn't feel right. You know, we're trying to, you know, again, give this an environment where it's farmer friendly. It is an agricultural crop. It's not a drug. And simultaneously understand that we've spent 80 years having a majority of these of our country, you know, lied to, and they have certain beliefs that are hard to die. And so there's a middle ground, and this 2-year period, I think this is what we'll have. But I think we could make this ultimately much more friendly to farmers and agriculture over time.
And once again, we're speaking with Michael Bowman, the keynote speaker at this weekend's Hemp at the Crossroads Education and Trade Show. Michael, you mentioned this is at least the second or third event you'll have done this week alone. How often do you get out and speak at these hemp events?
Well, I haven't counted them up for 2019 yet. It was a lot. I have after Hemp on the Crossroads, I go to Austin then for the Farm Vet Coalition, right on the heels of your event. And then off to Santa Fe and up to Minneapolis and over to Oakland, California before Thanksgiving. So 4 more.
Wow. So all these presidential candidates have nothing on you as far as travel.
No, they don't.
Well, now, and that's good for us. You get out, you're all over the country. You're at hemp events every day, all week long. Yeah. What is the pulse of the hemp community out there? And is it different in different regions that you go to?
Well, you know, I think, and I'm gonna, I'll answer that first part through the lens of the, you know, the hemp colleges have been widely popular. As you know, and you know, Jamie and I, and you have talked about before, I think, you know, we're, as we broaden our base here, as we reach back into convention, the conventional farmers, the folks that are corn and soybean folks, mm-hmm. you know, there's a real interest from that community in understanding this better. There's still some reluctance. We saw today, in the crowd here, there's still some of these older farmers who still aren't convinced. They're here because they are interested. They're not fully convinced, but they're open-minded. And so I think that I'm really excited about this, you know, this next chapter as we talk about how do we really integrate this and, you know, be able to build a supply chain for fiber and grain and industrial oils and all the things that plant's quite capable of, you know, giving us. Mm-hmm. And so I think there's some cautious optimism amongst the crowds out there, and the crowds would be the crowds outside of our circle of activists and advocates and people who have been passionately working on this for a while.
Right.
So as we get into that next ring, we still have to deal with some skepticism, and that's okay. You know, I mean, and it makes us better and stronger and sharper as we, you know, address these opportunities and the challenges. So I think there's a lot of hope out there that this is going to, you know, this is here to stay. And I think there's the perennial concern that, you know, that this industry would get gobbled up by, you know, a couple, two or three entities, and it's ultimately all for naught. You know, I don't subscribe to that theory, but because I think at the end of the day, there's a lot of passion and energy and power in this community that's going to keep that from happening. We'll see how it plays out, but. The eternal optimist.
but again, it's great to be able to hear from somebody like you who is out there. We're here in Indiana. We have our community of people that we're able to speak with, and we have the Hemp of the Crossroads trade show coming in. There's going to be a lot of people from not only the Midwest, but the entire country coming in. So it is great that everybody's able to get together and share stories, lick their wounds. And, you know, there have been a lot of struggles out there, but we're only 1 year in. It's been a long year, but it's been an exciting year for hemp.
It has, you know, and to your point, there's been wounds, and there was no doubt a lot of disappointments, but there's a lot of great stories as well. And I think, you know, that's just to be expected in a new industry that's growing fast and doesn't have a lot of infrastructure to fall back on in a way we normally have in a typical crop. So, we're going to get there. As one of my friends said, we've done good. So we're good, you know, we've done the next, we keep doing the next best thing, you know, the next right thing. And we, you know, it took 7606 to open the door, and then 2018 descheduling, and we've got these interim rules, and, you know, when this industry grows and more people come in under the tent, and we get, you know, we have that influence on, you know, on Capitol Hill and in further in policy down the road with significant numbers. That's what gives me hope. When we'll really win this game.
There we go. Michael Bowman, co-founder of First Crop Incorporated, also this weekend's keynote speaker, Hemp at the Crossroads Education and Trade Show. Michael, before we let you go, how can people get in touch with you?
Well, you can reach me at my email, which is real simple, Mr. Hemp at firstcrop.com. I didn't make that up.
Mr. Hemp, that's just M-R Hemp, or is that M-I-S-T?
M-R Hemp. Yeah.
M-R Hemp.
M-R Hemp at firstcrop.com, or Michael at Bowman.ag, A-G. They'll both come into my box, so whichever one's easier to remember.
Fantastic. Michael, as always, it's great to have you on the program. We always learn so much from you, and that's why we got you as keynote speaker this weekend. Yeah. Really looking forward to it.
Likewise, myself, Jason, can't wait to get there and see all my friends and have a little celebration. So looking forward to this weekend.
All right. We'll see you there.
All right. Thanks, Jason.
Okay, as we continue on, we're going to bring in Jamie Campbell-Petty, Executive Director of the Midwest Hemp Council. Big weekend going on this weekend, Jamie.
Yes, it's exciting. We've got a lot of our friends coming in from across the various states to join us, and a lot of Midwest Hemp Council members. Our membership has grown, and we're really excited to bring everyone together for this opportunity. We'll start off Friday night at Third Wave Farms open house in Kokomo.
All right, and then tell us a little bit about that before we get to the hemp at the crossroads. Give us another recap on Third Wave Farms.
Yes, Third Wave Farms. The team has a drying and processing facility in Kokomo, and they're going to be opening the doors for the community and our membership to share in what they're building there and what they have going on. Also, learning more about them and their belief system with regenerative agriculture. So we're excited to meet up with them on Friday night and kick off an entire weekend of hemp education and networking.
Well, yeah, then the Hemp at the Crossroads trade show opens up on Saturday. Again, this is November 16th, depending on when you're listening to this. Coming up here in a couple days, starts at 10 a.m. Justin Swanson, the president of the Midwest Hemp Council, will open up the weekend at 10 a.m. And we just spoke with Michael Bowman, co-founder of First Crop. He'll be there speaking as well right after Justin. And then just a whole day of events, both Saturday and Sunday.
It is. We're really excited. The trade show, we're up to just, I think, right at 40 trade show booths and a nice variety from irrigation to seed and clone sourcing to processing. And then, of course, retail and wholesale. So seed to shelf right there in the trade show. It's going to be fabulous. And then 2 days of education. Saturday is the agronomy portion of education, and Sunday is more the regulatory, which obviously with the new release of the USDA's final interim rule, this is going to be very key to hear not only Justin Swanson recap the USDA's rule, but also to hear from Bob Waltz, the state chemist, Indiana state chemist. We're going to hear from Dr. Bob Waltz, from Don Robison, the seed administrator, and that's going to be key to not only evaluate where we are, but where are we going? And not just for Indiana, but for all of the Midwest and other states. And then we will have people talking about insurance and grant money and so forth. So really a broad range of education for the weekend.
And with all the gatherings, of course, it's also just an opportunity to talk with other people, not just the experts, but everybody else that's involved and wants to be involved that show up to these events. It's really great networking opportunity.
It is. And, you know, like I've explained, it's the people that have been most engaged and most involved are the ones that are most prepared for what they're doing, and they can build their supply chain. And as an added bonus, we're going to have a cocktail gathering on Saturday evening. Dream Nutrition graciously is hosting that event. It starts at 7 o'clock, and we hope to, you know, see everyone come out and relax a little bit and enjoy the evening. All of this information is based on the Midwest Hemp Council website, and you can jump off from there, whether it's for Third Wave Farms tickets or whether you want to go to Hemp at the Crossroads and buy one or all of the opportunities to engage there this weekend.
Well, I know that at one point all the booths were sold out, then you guys were able to pop a few more in there. So it's really good to see people wanting to be involved with this.
Yes, we're excited, and we understand. I've heard a lot of complaints because it is opening gun season for deer hunters this weekend, and I understand that, but I promise you this is going to be worth your while. You're going to learn a lot. So maybe get out early in the morning, get your hunt in, and then come on out. And, you know, for those farmers that are harvesting, if you can get wrapped up, we welcome you at the door.
Well, no matter when you do something like this, there's always going to be an obstacle in the way for somebody. So you just got to pick a weekend and go, and that's this weekend. Again, it starts at 10 a.m. on Saturday and runs till 5:30, as Jamie said, the cocktail hour at 7, and then Sunday earlier at 9:30 until about 4 p.m. it adjourns. So definitely a good opportunity to folks to get out and see what's going on there. Jamie, anything else you want to add before I let you go and get ready for our big event?
You know, that's it, other than a real thanks to everyone who stood with us to sponsor this, both Bose Public Affairs Group, Indiana Farm Bureau. We're especially happy to have them come alongside of us to support the education of these farmers. And then ThriveWell, Bowman Family Holdings, Dream Nutrition, you know, and of course, Indiana Hemp Industries Association, Indiana Farmers Union, and we're just glad to have everybody there, and we know it's going to be a very productive weekend as we gear up for 2020.
All right. Once again, Executive Director of the Midwest Hemp Council and co-founder Jamie Campbell Petty. Jamie, thanks so much. I know all the hard work you put into this. I know it's going to pay off. We're going to have a great weekend coming up.
We will. And we'll see you there, Jason.
All right. And that's going to do it for this week's show. The Midwest Hemp Council Weekly Podcast is brought to you by the Bose Public Affairs Group at Bose, McKinney & Evans. If you'd like more information about the Midwest Hemp Council, go to our website, MidwestHempCouncil.com, and find out how you can get involved, volunteer, or become a member. Thanks again for tuning in, and remember to tell a friend about the Midwest Hemp Council Weekly Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Dozier. So long, everybody.